Well, this music can only mean one thing.
The opposite of what Eric Zorn is.
Right. This is the least feisty song in the history of music, and Eric Zorn is the most feisty human being on the planet.
Did you say Muzak? Because that's what it sounds like.
It is
like.
A Muzak version
you're
of the song.
You're going to have to fire Kevin, and it's a shame so close to his wedding.
I know.
But that's just so
that's how timing is. You know who you should sue, by the way? Is the people over at Fox. You should sue the people at Fox because they're running a television show called Son of Zorn.
I saw it last night. I watched it because I was afraid that it's going to be popular. But having watched it once, I don't think
you're
it's
not
going
worried
to be all
anymore.
That popular. No, I thought it was a very odd
This
show.
Is a cartoon character who's similar to He-Man, Master of the Universe.
Exactly
He-Man,
like Eric.
Yeah, or, similar to you.
Built like me, actually.
Built
you know, the
a lot
same,
like
the same
you.
Enormous
Maybe a little more slight than you are.
And, he plays the fiddle, too,
the same,
oddly enough.
And the same savage temper.
Yep.
But, you know, the premise is this animated cartoon. It's like you said, like He-Man or Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Or someone, you know, someone from out of fantasy fiction shows up, and he's... You know, he's the ex-husband of this kind of ordinary suburban woman and her new fiance and their teenage son. And trying to, and he decides he's going to live there in, I guess, the suburbs of Los Angeles or something and try to cope. It just wasn't all that funny, and I don't see the premise last.
But isn't it strange that they used your name?
It's very strange. It's not that common a name. And I have this feeling that when Michael Jordan was drafted, remember? I imagine there were people all over town whose names were Michael Jordan who were thinking, like, please don't be a success. There was a Cook County judge, Michael Jordan, and I'm sure he was thinking, he was just like, you know, no, I don't want, for the next 25 years, I don't want people coming up to me going, oh, Michael Jordan. So I knew a kid when I was growing up, his name was Charlie Brown.
Oh, really?
He was named that before, you know, the Peanuts cartoon got popular. And so obviously, you know, you blockhead.
It's inevitable.
You losers.
So. Yeah.
So, but that show started last night on Fox, and I was relieved that it wasn't any better.
That it wasn't funny. Wendy and I, at the beginning of the show, were talking about what happened with Hillary Clinton over the weekend. She was at a memorial for 9/11. She got sick, had to leave early. Some people are saying that shows you how much grit this woman has. She's sick, but still attending functions. Other people say how weak it was to be leaving a ceremony of this importance. So we know she has pneumonia. Other people have speculated she may have something more. And we were wondering, Wendy and I were wondering, what happens if she really is too sick to continue to run?
Well, if it weren't so close to the election, it would be really obvious what would happen. Is if say, this were, you know, in early August, and she, and we're not saying that she is diagnosed with anything more serious than
a lot of people are speculating.
A mild
though.
Case of pneumonia, yeah, but you know, I don't think it's a whole lot to the speculation. I mean, they're speculating she's got something much more serious, that she's had strokes or MS or something like that. But there's no evidence of that. But let's say if this were August. The Democratic National Committee just comes in and they say, okay, well, she's going to step down. And this happens in lesser races all the time. Well,
yeah.
You know, it's not uncommon. Let's say someone has to take ill, bows out, and then the party will appoint someone to run in her place. In this case, it would probably be Joe Biden. I can't imagine.
You don't think it would be Tim Kaine?
That's a losing shot right there. Nobody even is Tim Kaine.
Oh, Tim Kaine would be losing time.
But
I think Joe Biden is a fairly popular fellow. He's pretty popular in the same working class base that Donald Trump is appealing to. I think he would be the one to plug in. My guess is that he has some regrets about not having run. You know, he didn't run because his son died, and he was still going through that.
Sure.
And he openly debated whether he should do that and bowed out. But I'm sure he's got a lot of regrets about that. He seems fairly vigorous. I don't think he's very popular. He'd be the guy. Anyway, but now that it's September and a lot of ballots have been printed, I don't know what the deadlines are in all these various states, but early voting starts really soon.
Didn't even think of that.
And you've got all these ballots that are being published. It's not, you know, you can't just turn a switch and have an election. It's a big process building up to it. It'd be interesting to get maybe someone from the Board of Elections in Illinois or something. When are they going to print their ballots? When is the last date where you can change a name on it? It does not go to Tim Kaine, though. That people have been speculating that it just automatically becomes Tim Kaine. That's only a matter of presidential succession. And I don't think Tim Kaine would be the one that the party would choose. Now, you might have some sentiment out there that Bernie Sanders should be the one that the party would appoint. I don't think that would happen.
But it could.
It could. Oh, sure. It could happen.
So they could just basically put in whomever they want.
They could put in Huma. Since you said who,
that would be a mistake.
But they could put in anyone they wanted to, and you know, you would think they would have to pick someone who would play against the strengths that Trump is showing, and I think that would probably be Biden. I don't think that we have any evidence that that's going to happen. The thing that really bothered me about this was not that she's taken ill or that she's got like, apparently a mild form of pneumonia, but that she was secretive about it again. I mean, this is the Clintons' problem going all the way back, is that they're just not very forthcoming, not very candid. She gets diagnosed on Friday, and then we find out about it after hours of speculation and wondering where she is and how she's feeling and what she's doing on Sunday.
Yeah.
I just think that if you are a candid person running for office, you say, yeah, you know, what's a bummer? I was diagnosed with a mild form of pneumonia today. I'm going to power through it, though. You know, please wish me the best.
Would America look at that as a weakness? I don't think so.
I don't think they would look at that as a weakness. I think right now, to me, the issue is not her health. I think her health is going to be fine. But the issue is, you know, again, she's in the situation where her instinct is to cover up, is not to tell things. Now, I want to be fair about this and to say that I think Donald Trump has a far worse problem with candor and transparency. His medical records that he's released so far, it's like one page joke letter dashed off by his doctor saying he'd be the most healthy person ever elected president. He's got 70 years old. You know, he's going to have some health issues. Wouldn't be unexpected. And the taxes, Donald Trump's tax returns, he hasn't released those. You know, so that, you know, when we're comparing, I mean, neither of these candidates is a model of truth telling or transparency. And I happen to think that Donald Trump is far worse about telling the truth and about being transparent than Hillary Clinton is. But, you know,
I have a question. I do understand if Hillary would have just said, oh, wouldn't you know, bad timing. I got diagnosed with pneumonia. I'm still going to go to the 9/11 memorial, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, if she didn't become ill or weakened, no one would know. And why should we know? What does it matter that much?
Well, you're taking a big gamble. She took a gamble that she was going to be able to power right through this and not have it show to anybody, and it didn't pay off. And the cost of losing that gamble was pretty significant, is that her health is now a real issue in this campaign, where it really wasn't. I mean, people were saying, oh, it's an issue. They were raising it. The National Enquirer has it on their front page. But that was basically a bunch of crackpot theories.
Because she coughed.
It was Alex Jones and those conspiracy theory people who were saying, like, oh, she's coughing. That's a sign that she's, you know, every time they were saying that she had to lean on chairs. She had to sit everywhere. And you know, part of the same group of people who were floating these theories last week that she had a little earpiece during the commander-in-chief forum, that they said, oh, there's one photo that shows a little like white thing in her ear during the commander-in-chief forum. Did you guys hear about this?
Mm-mm.
You're looking puzzled.
No, I know what you're talking about.
I didn't.
But there's this photo going around saying it looks like she's being fed information through this little earpiece.
Yeah.
And it was reminiscent of the rumors that went around when George Bush was running, or maybe running for re-election, I can't remember what year it was, but someone saw like a big bulge in his coat, and they said, "Oh, he's got a transmitter back there."
Right.
Like electronics are that big anymore.
Right.
But the numerous other photos taken of Hillary Clinton at that commander-in-chief forum, which was a thing on Wednesday night on MSNBC and NBC last week. Numerous other photos showed that there was nothing in her ear. Many other angles show that there's nothing in her ear at all. But this went wild on the right-wing blogosphere. They were just going crazy about it. And so that's what this health business felt like to me.
You know how when you travel almost anywhere, business or pleasure, you get some jet lag, especially if you're crossing into another time zone. So she's been doing this nonstop for several months. Plus, she's 20 years older than us. So that's going to add up at some point.
Right. If it happens to you, imagine someone who's older. She does. I bet she doesn't even bench what you bench.
I do 10 pounds more than she does.
Yeah, easily. So, you can see where it would take a toll on anybody, particularly someone of that age. But again, it's this inability to just be candid. To
right.
Say, hey, you know, I'm
be honest.
I'm under the weather.
I'm sick.
And I think the wheels turn in this really lawyerly way of hers. And yes, she doesn't have an obligation. She can keep, you know, whatever she wants private in terms of her health.
Right.
But she shouldn't. Trump today, in something that I find sort of eerily presidential, offered her his best wishes and hope for a speedy recovery.
Yeah, so we can get to the debate.
Totally different from the tone that he's been taking about her health for the last couple of weeks. He's been saying she has low energy, she's not up for the job, and you know, feeding into these rumors that she's got something seriously wrong with her. Now suddenly he's a gentleman. Oh, I'm wishing my opponent the best, and I can't wait to see her at the debates.
He's going to go to her classes and get all of her homework and bring it to her house later.
It's gonna. It's
what a man! Card.
But yep. And he's also he said that he's going to release some full health records of his own. Hillary Clinton has to at this point. She's released a couple of pages. She's got to get. We got to have a full workup of her and of him too. In fairness, I mean, he's 2 years older, and just because he looks like he's more energetic, he's not out as much as she is. He doesn't travel as much, and when he does travel, it's in great luxury.
Yeah. I bet he has high blood pressure. That's just my thought.
That's a possibility.
Just ready to explode. Yeah, who knows? What his cholesterol must be. Who knows?
We'll take a quick break, and then Eric Zorn is here. You can reach us at 312-981-7200. It's Bill LaFan and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Eric Zorn is here with us, Bill and Wendy. If you like your feisty, Eric Zorn's your guy. Eric, earlier we were talking, now this is a phrase that I don't think had ever been said on the planet, but now everybody's saying it, basket of deplorables.
Yeah.
That's part of Hillary Clinton's speech the other day.
Yeah, she gave a speech saying that Donald Trump supporters all fall into this, what she called the basket of deplorables, which were...
great band name.
Yeah, well, exactly. And a great Halloween costume, right, if you can pull it off.
Oh, yeah.
4 years ago, you could have been a binder full of women. Now you're a basket of deplorables.
Right.
But you know, people who are homophobic, racist, Islamophobic, you know, that is sort of lumping them all together and saying that something like half of Trump supporters are in this basket of deplorables. Now, the problem with that, if, you know, politically, is it sounds kind of a harsh tone. Statistically, and I think you guys mentioned this earlier, that you look at the polling that's been done on Trump supporters, and you find that something like 60% of them hold unfavorable views of Islam, 76% support a ban on Muslims entering the United States, 59% believe that Obama was not born in the United States, and let's see, 40% believe that blacks are more lazy than whites, 16% of Trump supporters admitted they believe whites are a superior race.
These are astounding.
And the question is, okay, some subset of those things, I mean, those are deplorable views. The question is someone who holds deplorable views deplorable? I mean, I think we could all agree David Duke is deplorable. But is someone who, you know, wants to keep Muslims out of the U.S., is that person a deplorable person, or is that just something that we consider a deplorable view? I think the tone isn't quite right. And, if she had stuck to the facts, if she had said what is really shocking and what is really troubling about the Trump campaign is that it is attracting so many people who hold so many of these.
Wouldn't that have been
views.
The better way to play those stats?
Yep.
I think
far
so.
Better.
Yes. Yeah. And she seemed to be reading from a speech. This wasn't one of those moments where she was actually, you know, caught off guard by a reporter on the tarmac or something. She was introducing Barbara Streisand, I think, at a fundraiser.
Yeah.
So these were remarks that she had thought about, and she said, "Well, you know, maybe I'm overgeneralizing here, but I think it is a vital point, an urgent point. Is why is this candidate attracting such enthusiasm among these people who hold deplorable views? Why are racists so drawn to him? Why are these people on the alt-right so drawn to Donald Trump? Now, you can say in every election, when the deplorable people or those with deplorable views vote, they're supporting particular candidates, and you can't blame a candidate for who votes for him.
Right.
But there, it is undeniable that the enthusiasm and the comfort that he is giving to those particular groups. And when she put it that way, she ended up making people who support Donald Trump who don't necessarily hold these deplorable views, but they just want a change. They're frustrated with the way the economy is going. They want someone to try a different tack than...
But couldn't you draw the obvious line of if Donald Trump's campaign is built on building walls and Hillary Clinton seems to be built on building bridges, the walls would indicate all those stats that you just read, each one of them alarming, they all have to do with keeping groups separate, you know?
Yes.
If they're saying things like, we believe that the white race is the superior race and that black people are lazy, all those things would lead you to believe that if that's your mindset, that Trump's wall theory is a better theory than a bridge theory.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's the point, I think, that you can make without making people who support Donald Trump who don't hold those views. And obviously, you know, all these statistics I quoted, there's a balancing proportion of them that hold the opposite.
Right,
they don't
sure.
hold those views. So, and like I said, I think there are reasons for people who want to support Trump, who may think like, well, I think he'll be good for the economy. I think he'll be good for this, and it has nothing to do with those kind of issues. But you know, the way, and also if you want to have a surrogate, a campaign surrogate, throwing those darts, maybe you do. But I think she needed to keep a little bit higher tone, even though a lot of people have rushed her defense and said these numbers are, you know, don't lie, that half of these supporters do seem to hold views that we consider deplorable.
Also, you were in here for this earlier, but somebody questioned that research was done by Reuters, by the Pew Research Group, and by NBC, and somebody said that those weren't exactly your most believable sources for this sort of information.
It was a listener,
But those are some of the higher respected sources.
Every polling organization that's taken a look at Trump supporters, the one thing you might say is that some of the numbers are old, that these were taken, some of them, back during the primary season when Trump supporters were a smaller, more distilled portion of the Republican electorate.
Right.
So that now to say that if you were to poll everybody who's going to vote for Donald Trump now and take those polls, you might find
stats would be different.
It might be a little different, but I don't think you can seriously doubt that those numbers are accurate or were accurate at the time.
Yeah.
These aren't polls take. I mean, polling agencies are not going to risk their reputation, their future, for a one-off question like, "Do you think white people are more energetic than black people?" I mean, let's cheat on that, so we'll ruin a thing. Is that Steve Bertrand?
I don't think it is.
It looks like him.
No, it looks like him, but I don't think it's
him. One of those people who go around to celebrity impersonators.
Right.
I'm my own doppelganger, no matter where I go.
You save money that way.
That's right.
Eric, thank you. We appreciate
you
being here.
Guys.
We'll check in with Steve in just a little bit and find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.